Good afternoon. This is Christy and Katrina here at the DK805 podcast. Today, we'll be talking about compounded grief and what that can look like for both of us. You can see that today I'm wearing the pink ribbon sweatshirt because I'll be talking about my sister and how I've had compounded grief with her graduation. And Katrina has an important day coming up tomorrow. And how is that?
I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. I was building up from just the point of talking about what we would, we always want to have what we're sharing to be hopeful. And that's the point of why we're here and sharing our grief of our boys. But along with that has come for me just an intense compounded grief. My mom passed just shy of 7 months past when my son did. We cared for my mom. She was with us. I did find my mom. And she had a very peaceful passing, and that was a blessing. I can say that now. But as it gets closer, like it is tomorrow, her heavenly birthday. It just starts feeling like it does with all the dates. And like as it gets closer for me, I have found many wonderful ways to, process this. And that's what I want to share, that it is, it just comes up on you. Like it's, I feel heaviness. I feel really disorganized in my thoughts. And then as we've been sharing, I feel like I'm edgy because I don't want to be going through this.
No,
grief, I don't want to be going through this.
Grief just kind of sucks.
It sucks. I miss my mom. I miss my son. I want her right here. I want her to be with me, processing as I am. I know that she's so proud of me. I feel her. I feel her through you and your sweetness with me and your patience. I'm so thankful that you have patience with me because, there's so much with, you have to kind of start all over again each day. And, our family is very close in that we have found a lot of ways to honor her and her passing by doing special things. My mom made my carrot cake when I was a little girl, and it's the only cake I'd ever eat in my whole life. I don't like chocolate. I know you like chocolate.
I love chocolate. I love chocolate.
And so when you were telling me that the other day, I was remembering, like, I just pass on desserts and but my mom's cake is like that, like ratatouille moment where it like brings me back to home.
Right.
And, so normally that would be something we were able to do with, my aunt, who's just her younger sister, my precious aunt, who gave me this angel catcher book, which is a place to keep all the memories and things that along the way have just, guide me. Come to me. They're feathers for my mom. My mom is nature. She's so much a part of that. But we would make my mom's cake with her recipe, and I have her recipe cards. And my mom was an amazing cook.
And sometimes I bet just holding those recipe cards in your hand,
it's so special.
You can feel her energy.
Oh yeah,
through that. And I know that I keep trying to remember this quote correctly, but it's the heavenly distance between us and love is non-existent. Mm. It's just non-existent. So as you hold that card, I want to make that cake for you now.
We'll have to make it. And I have like her, it is so true. When I feel her card, when I just, I have them, they're right in the cabinet and I will pull them out later. And it's just something it's tangible. I can see her writing. My mom was left-handed and just so much love put into everything she did that just her food tasted like it was just love, it was just absolutely so much love. But in that,
And sometimes when I get into that compounded grief, one of the things that nobody, I don't know if anybody could warn you, is how other relationships change.
Right.
The sources of support that you think will be there, they are there temporarily. Mm. And then as life goes on, they go on, but we're still sitting in the, I don't want to call them broken pieces, but the broken pieces, like it's, if you take a frame and you throw it on the ground, it's going to shatter. And we can glue it all back together. We can glue our hearts back together, because resilience is what we share together. We share that we're able to look at everything that is right and all those happy moments we have with those
we
that
we
love.
We feel them wanting us to push forward. And that's, and that is that, that's the hope. And I do feel that, there's nothing, scary about where I feel they are. I know that's a peaceful, there's so much peace in that. And that is, that's an absolute. There's that, that's something we shared again early on, of just that knowing, is how we can, I believe is how we're able to, you know, for that wanting to find the ways that we are to help other people to, if they're stuck or they're in a place where they just feel without that hope, with these tears and with this, this, what I'm processing is something I have to go through. I can't push it. I don't want to push it down. It's feeling when you feel, it's like there, it's just love with a, you know, just coming through. It's like, it's how much I love them. And that's the grief. That's that processing. And then you just, you have to feel it. You have to.
And the tears are beautiful. The tears are beautiful, because those are the windows to the soul. And as much as it hurts, and to see the tears just show the love. So.
Yeah. And it's like, just kind of feels like, don't push them down. That was, you know, we had planned this. We had talked about a couple different things we wanted to talk about today, but it's here. It's tomorrow. We'd planned this as the day. And along with that came, like, this is just how it unfolds for us. And it just happens to be.
Well, and one of the things in your case too, it's the compounded grief. And I did have this with my sister as well.
Right.
Is that you were in the middle of grieving your son.
Yeah.
You didn't even have time to wrap your head around your son passing.
No.
Before your mom.
No.
Before your mom was called home as well. So that grief doesn't escape us. Mm-hmm. It waits for us, and it's waiting for you. So it's been 2.5 years, but in reality, it's been yesterday, because you're still learning how to walk a different walk.
Right. And it's just, and I know with your sister, and I'm just so grateful you brought her picture today. So beautiful. And just that, you know, sharing with that we, you know, today, because this is October for her, passing
it is,
as well.
It is. Yeah. Well, no, it's, she passed in July.
Oh, okay. But this, you were talking about for cancer awareness.
Well, it's interesting, because I know that I have the pink ribbon shirt, because
that's
a few years.
Sorry, that's grief brain.
Yeah,
but
no.
I know you said it, and I know.
But that's interesting too, because when she was going through her journey with her breast cancer, it was pink ribbon everywhere.
Yeah.
And then it became like a national October, a national holiday for breast cancer. And I would get so angry, because it wasn't about awareness anymore. It became a celebration for cancer. Mm-hmm. And I remember being triggered.
Right, the wording.
Every October, where no matter where I went, you couldn't escape the pink ribbons. Mm-hmm. And so I'm grateful that there's not pink ribbons everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
But October, it's become, I think, Mental Health Awareness Month too. So it's not just.
Yeah.
I have to look at that. Every month should be mental health.
Every month should be Mental Health Month, Awareness Month.
Yeah, we should always be focusing on it.
And that's you know, and that's a reminder too, that this allows us this time, you know, all these connections that we're making so, you know, so beautifully with people that we've shared already with. And every day there, you know, there was another beautiful mom that I wanted to share that also lost her son he was 24, and she started a foundation for him. And it's, again, it's another D, and it's that connection with another K. And
it's
I just wanted to bring that in, because there's so much beauty in that with her, Love is Free Foundation. And I wanted to make that because, you know, we have found our purpose for where to put this pain and where to how we can maybe lead people where everyone's going to find their own tools and their own ways to work through what they're processing and the pain, but knowing you're not alone and reaching out and feeling these people reach out to us is so, it's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And sometimes with the compounded loss, what mm-hmm. we lose, what we can lose sight of, I don't know if everybody does this, but mm-hmm. I know I've done it myself. Mm-hmm. And I can go on and describe the compounded mm-hmm. loss that I've had with my sister, because right after she had passed away, I have what I call, I always refer to her as my other sister, yeah. moved into the same house that my sister mm-hmm. moved into, and then she died from ALS. Mm-hmm. And those were probably, just like back to back. So I couldn't wrap my head around it. But I didn't necessarily handle it correctly mm-hmm. with my, I call her my sister friend, because mm-hmm. she became family. Mm-hmm. But I didn't necessarily handle it okay with her, because when she was sick, it kept having all those triggers that mm-hmm. I would see her sick. Then I would remember my sister being mm-hmm. sick. So I was just angry.
Were you reaching for it? Like at that time for help for you? Because I want to remind myself that you were also going through the act of rescuing and saving of
absolutely.
Devin.
Right. Oh, we were. It was.
And how do you,
Devin and other family members, and it was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I did not do mm-hmm. was take care of myself. Mm. And so for my pain came out more in anger. Mm. So I would be triggered, mm-hmm. Like the pink ribbons would trigger me. Or mm-hmm. then if I was actually angry that Kim got sick. Mm. I was. And then I would have to apologize to her, like, it's not your fault. She needed compassion too. So through this journey, when our hearts break,
right.
what I've learned is each scar tells a different story.
Yeah.
And leaning into those stories and yeah. into those pains can help heal the heart. So as tomorrow is approaching, I know the ways you can sometimes take care of yourself, which you're still teaching me how to do that.
Yeah.
So what are you doing for yourself right now?
Well, you know, I just want to touch on, you get used to, like, I have to remind myself, it's okay to be tired. I'm tired all the time. I don't sleep well as these, kind of at all, but I can get sleep, but I want to touch in just on, you know, when people are there for you that really are your support systems. And I don't mention this enough, and just having it be where, you know, my husband happens to be just the most, amazing, supportive, deals with all of the waves that I'm going through, and I don't even know how to be honest, because I'm not understanding it myself as it's coming up and as I'm talking about it now. I just really wanted to make a point of saying that he does what we found for me with Dylan when we were struggling a lot with trying to find treatment for him when he passed was beyond comprehension. We went away to nature. We found like ways to seek peace, the beach, walking, just feeling. And he just made every effort to make sure that was something that was happening for me. And that's what we're doing with this journey with, now with my mom also. But we've done that a lot. We've also found that to be just the best healing medicine for us is in nature, where we can have quiet and we can connect to one another and remembering that he is walking side by side with me in this. And I'm very aware that that isn't always the case when someone is in grief, that they don't, but there's others that can be. There can be, you know, a dear friend or people that are in support groups that you can meet and then become your, you know, the person that can, you know, walk with you, because it's a very lonely journey if you're, you know, in those spaces. And I have to remind myself that I can just wave my white flag and to say, I need help.
And it's so brave. I mean, reaching out for help mm-hmm. is so brave, because sometimes we don't even, right. we can't recognize it. I know one of my coping mechanisms as I started to recognize that I was getting angry. And I have a pretty easygoing personality, but I knew that I was overwhelmed when I was yelling at the cars in front of me on the road. And I'm like, oh, well, wait, what's going on there?
Right, right. So, it's not the cars in the road. It's
the pain inside that needs to go somewhere.
Right.
So what I learned to do myself is I'm a sunset chaser.
Mm-hmm.
And so I make it a point.
I love that.
To look to end my day. And I remind myself when I see the beautiful sunsets that it's the masterpiece of life. And if I can focus on the beauty of life, and sometimes I have to journal it. I have to say.
That's what I was sharing with the journaling. That is so important to write it out. And I love that chasing the sunsets, but I did want to say that, you know, there are some things, you know, we don't want to have people doing when they're, you know, grieving is, it's painful and it's a work and there's, you need to reach out. And it's like, so I just want to read this. So I'm getting, cause these resonated with me. It's, you know, it's really these sort of things that you just, you know, don't suppress your feelings. Like it's really, you know, I was going to, you know, should I not cry? That's not going to suppress my feelings. Can't. Don't isolate. Isolation was a big part of Dylan and his journey. I know with just when in Devin, when you've shared just in active use, there is the isolation because there's that goes along with that and feeling like it's their way of protecting themselves, feeling ashamed, all the things that, you know, we want now to feel like in order to, we unlock that, like, you know, not keeping things in because we're only as, you know, as again, as the secrets that can kill us, you know, and don't neglect your own health, your personal health, and having that be where you're, you know, don't rush the process. There is no rush. There's no graduation timeline from this. It's like, this is the journey. This is what we didn't ask for, but this is how we can unfold. So don't rush it. There is no timeline. There's no doing it perfect. And just, don't stop speaking about your loved ones. One of the most painful things I can remember back that now I just openly say, just talk about Dylan. Talk about our, you know, say his name. I want to hear his name. I want to know that you're thinking of him. Something reminds you of him. He's beautiful. And with Devin, with the things they've left behind for us to have the music, I have videos of Dylan skateboarding. Those things, we want people to remember our, you know, are also just to speak of them. Yeah.
When I was, when Devin was struggling, I would often ask my sister.
Yeah.
I'm like, please protect my boy, protect him. He's here. I'm going to, I'll hold up this picture.
Yeah.
So here is Shannon.
Yeah.
This is Shannon. She was 31 years old when she was diagnosed with cancer, and she passed away at just before her 35th birthday. And so she, and it was hard as well because she passed away in July, which is Devin's birthday. But I always felt like she was there with him. So now, and I think you did the same thing.
Combined their celebrations of life.
Well, and I also see them building the family and they're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sometimes envious that my sister gets to spend time.
It's my mom and Dylan.
Yeah, but what a blessing to know that they are together.
Right.
And you know, people will sometimes challenge us, right? Mm-hmm. And I say, I have absolutely no comfort in believing that they're not together.
No.
And so if somebody push back and stay, heal your own heart because as you celebrate your mom,
I think about someone else's perception on what you feel is, that's what, and that lastly on there with the things not to, don't blame yourself. And so if other people want to have their thinking or what they have no concept of, we don't know what they're going through. They don't know what we're going through. We're sharing openly this pain and this process, but, it definitely isn't something we can't take on what other people want to put on us or expectations of how grief looks. We talked about that.
No.
Well, you're smiling. And I've felt like I've had to apologize before. I'm smiling because I'm smiling through my pain.
Well, and the truth is happiness and sadness can coexist. Mm-hmm. We're not, I think Buddha says that pain in life is inevitable. Mm-hmm. Suffering is optional. Mm-hmm. So as we go through this journey of grief, we just want to remind everybody that mm-hmm. there you can reach out to us
yeah.
at the DK805podcast.com. Yeah. We just want healing is possible, and we're still in recovery ourselves.
That's right. And the hope and the light that we try to be for anyone out there that is struggling, like we said, please reach out. And we are getting your messages, and they are very healing for our hearts. And we are praying for you. We're praying for your families. We're praying for your walk. You're not alone. And there are so many beautiful resources. Like I've said on each, I want to make sure I remind myself to say that there's just an immense amount of beautiful resources, community to reach out for. Do not isolate. Don't walk this this journey alone. You're not alone.
Right. Together.
Yep.
We stand united.
Right. Right. Be the light. Be hopeful. There is hope and there's joy, and our loved ones want us to seek joy. I feel that the most.
And what a gift you had having the mom you had, and what a blessing to be Dylan's mom.
And your beautiful sister. Thank you for bringing that today. I was so glad to see that.
Yeah, thank you. And what a blessing it's been to be Devin's mom.
Yeah, Dylan's mom. And we are
Dylan and Devin
walking this journey. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So. And love is free. Love is free.
So is kindness.
Love and kindness are free. So there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.